Chapter 26. Conrad bowed his head and said, "Ah, why did I ever wake? And so she died of grief for me, poor child. So young, so sweet, so good. She never wittingly did a hurtful thing in all the little summer of her life. Her loving debt shall be repaid, for I will die of grief for her." His head drooped upon his breast. In a moment there was a wild burst of joyous laughter, a pair of round young arms were flung about Conrad's neck and a sweet voice cried, "There, Conrad mine, thy kind words kill me, the farce shall go no further. Look up, and laugh with us, 'twas all a jest." And he did look up, and gazed, in a dazed wonderment, for the disguises were stripped away, and the aged men and women were bright, and young and gay again. Katharina's happy tongue ran on. 'Twas a marvelous jest, and bravely carried out. They gave you a heavy sleeping draught before you went to bed, and in the night they bore you to a ruined chamber, where all had fallen to decay, and placed these rags of clothing by you. And when your sleep was spent, and you came forth, two strangers, well instructed in their parts, were here to meet you, and all we, your friends, in our disguises, were close at hand, to see and hear, you may be sure. Ah, 'twas a gallant jest. Come, now, and make thee ready for the pleasures of the day. How real was thy misery for the moment, thou poor lad! Look up and have thy laugh, now." He looked up, searched the merry faces about him in a dreamy way, then sighed and said, "I am aweary, good strangers, I pray you lead me to her grave." All the smile vanished away, every cheek blanched, Katharina sunk to the ground in a swoon. All day the people went about the castle with troubled faces, and communed together in undertones. A painful hush pervaded the place which had lately been so full of cheery life. Each in his turn tried to arouse Conrad out of his hallucination, and bring him to himself. But all the answer any got was a meek, bewildered stare, and then the words, "Good stranger, I have no friends, all are at rest these many years. Ye speak me fair, ye mean me well, but I know ye not. I am alone, and forlorn in the world, prithee lead me to her grave." During 2 years Conrad spent his days, from the early morning till the night, under the linden tree, mourning over the imaginary grave of his Katharina. Katharina was the only company of the harmless madman. He was very friendly toward her because, as he said, in some ways she reminded him of his Katharina whom he had lost 50 years ago. He often said, "She was so gay, so happy-hearted, but you never smile, and always when you think I am not looking, you cry." When Conrad died, they buried him under the linden, according to his directions, so that he might rest near his poor Katharina. Then Katharina sat under the linden alone, every day and all day long, a great many years, speaking to no one, and never smiling, and at last her long repentance was rewarded with death, and she was buried by Conrad's side. Harris pleased the captain, by saying it was good legend, and pleased him further by adding, "Now that I have seen this mighty tree, vigorous with its 400 years, I feel a desire, to believe the legend for its sake, so I will humor the desire, and consider that the tree really watches over those poor hearts, and feels a sort of human tenderness for them." We returned to Netscherstanich, plunged our hot heads into the trough at the town pump, and then went to the hotel, and ate our trout dinner in leisurely comfort, in the garden, with the beautiful Neckar flowing at our feet, the quaint Dillsburg looming beyond, and the graceful towers and battlements of a couple of medieval castles, called the Wallow's Nest One and the Brothers. Assisting the rugged scenery of a bend of the river down to our right, we got to sea in season, to make the 8-mile run to Heidelberg before the night shut down. We sailed by the hotel in the mellow glow of sunset, and came slashing down with the mad current into the narrow passage between the dikes. I believed I could shoot the bridge myself, and I went to the forward triplet of logs, and relieved the pilot of his pole and his responsibility. 1. The seeker after information is referred to Appendix E for our captain's legend of the Wallow's Nest and the Brothers. We went tearing along in a most exhilarating way, and I performed the delicate duties of my office very well indeed for a first attempt, but perceiving, presently, that I really was going to shoot the bridge itself instead of the archway under it, I judiciously stepped ashore. The next moment I had my long-coveted desire. I saw a raft wrecked. It hit the pier in the center, and went all to smash, and scatteration like a box of matches struck by lightning. I was the only one of our party who saw this grand sight. The others were attentionizing, for the benefit of the long rank of young ladies who were promenading on the bank, and so they lost it. But I helped to fish them out of the river, down below the bridge, and then described it to them as well as I could. They were not interested, though. They said they were wet, and felt ridiculous, and did not care anything for descriptions of scenery. The young ladies, and other people, crowded around and showed a great deal of sympathy, but that did not help matters, for my friend said they did not want sympathy, they wanted a back alley and solitude. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.